This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the After Election Earl Ingram Show. I'm joined by my co-host Sandy Williams, and as always, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Before we go to you guys, CJ's been waiting for a while. Let's get CJ on. CJ, good morning. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking my call, and to Sandy and Dr. Craig, the two guys I would love to debate anytime, anywhere. Last night was pretty amazing. You know, one thing we found out, 70% of Americans thought we were headed in the wrong direction.
Well, CJ, it wasn't 70%. Okay, let's get that straight. It was not 70%, but go ahead. Raise a thin margin, CJ, but go ahead.
Okay, well, like the caller from L.A. always says, you know, we the people, and they spoke. He actually won the popular vote by 5 million. And Earl, 24% of black men voted for him. And you laughed at me the first time, and that's up from 8%. You laughed at me. The black men, the black community, and all of America has watched as this candidate said she wouldn't do anything.
All right, CJ, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, we don't need to rehash that. Dr. Craig, your thoughts on what transpired last night?
Well, you're right. It was an extremely close election. And, you know, Nate Cohen had a very good election day article in the New York Times that had four scenarios. In other words, the polling didn't really tell us what was going to happen. It was all margin of error, and we don't know who's going to turn out, which adds further error to a poll. And so, and it's really a combination of Cohen's third and fourth scenarios. So we didn't know it was going in. And I think ultimately, I mean, there are a lot of factors we could dig into, right? But if you look at the just to be fair, because liberals, we look at social science, natural science, and glean what we can from it and then apply it to human affairs. So if you look at 80 years of opinion research in political science and other related social science disciplines about voting, the one common denominator is that when people feel that their economic conditions have been worsened, and they don't have long attention span, so it's a relatively recent time horizon, then they tend to blame the incumbent, period. And what's unique here is I don't know if there was an economic variable that would explain it. The one that explains it in terms of opinion research over 80 years and looking at voting data is whether people's income, relative incomes, the cost of living versus their income has gone up or down in the last quarter and a half or so. Don't know. We don't know that number. So maybe that will hold, maybe it won't. But the point is that perception, and therefore Biden's very low approval ratings, which were linked mostly to that, was frankly an anchor around the Harris campaign that she was trying to overcome. She was trying to swim across a channel with a big anchor, and she didn't quite make it. She performed given people's opinions of the economy and their, quite frankly, short memories of what the Trump, economy was like. She did remarkably well, you could argue, and overperformed if you look at how important that is to voting. And what that research also shows is that voters do not punish incumbents fairly. They tend to punish incumbents for bad news. So it doesn't matter that COVID caused most of the inflation spike and the disruption of the pandemic. It doesn't matter that a lot of things like trade policies President Biden did not implement and was trying to change in a lot of ways caused this. What matters is I'm not doing well. I have landed, by the way, all of the attacks on economic security, Earl and Sandy, over the decades have created a greater sense of anxiety where half the population can't afford a $400 surprise bill. And any interaction with the healthcare system results in one pretty much. You don't know where it came from. So President Biden and Kamala Harris did not cause that. They were trying to fix it. But the voters acted as voters have done in the United States and Western Europe and voted out incumbents based on that economic insecurity and the feeling that things were hard for them economically and were getting worse.
You know, I heard Donald Trump say yesterday, or it might have been the day before, at one of his rallies, that I'm going to give Kennedy control of the healthcare system. And so this is what we're talking, this is what we're looking at. The height of insanity to say that, and he can do what he will, is what I heard Donald Trump say. Let's say that he does turn that over to Robert F. Kennedy, you know, either Sandy or Dr. Craig. You know, it's a possibility, you know, that this can happen. And so when we talk about why people felt uncomfortable and the conditions that they, you know, kind of had to go through, I just still, it's puzzling and troubling to me that they think that turning this over to a guy like Donald Trump is going to fix all those things.
Well, yeah, I think what Robert talked about, it makes a lot of sense and is actually is very, very clearly true. And that is that incumbents get punished regardless of their connection to the problem for whatever it is that occurs during their presidency. And I hope the Republicans are watching that because, as Robert said, the problems of the middle class have been 25 and 30 years in the making. OK, and this has been a long trend line with healthcare becoming a bigger and bigger problem, with child daycare becoming an expense that can't be borne, with people, more and more people in our society living paycheck to paycheck. And so if the Republicans are smart, they're going to realize that the next incumbent is going to be a Republican. And if they don't start paying attention to those issues and trying to fix those issues, and if all they do is lower taxes like they did in 2017, they're going to be punished in the very same way. And so, you know, I think that, you know, the electorate maybe isn't too sharp and isn't too clear about understanding what they're doing, but it is very clear what they do, which is they do punish incumbents for situations that occurred during the period of incumbency. And, you know, the Republicans would be smart to try to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't use his worst impulses and rather is held in check so that they don't get blamed in the massive sort of way that they might. Were they to break this thing in the manner that that he promises to potentially break the system?
Dr. Gray?
Very true. And quite frankly, I think if Earl and Sandy, you're very well versed in things, you know, there's only one other two-term president who didn't serve contiguous terms, who lost and then won again, and that's Grover Cleveland. What people forget is that the Great Depression before the Great Depression in the 1930s was what happened in the second administration of Grover Cleveland. He became one of the most unpopular presidents in American history and wasn't even much exhilarated after he served his term in office. ultimately caused a huge realignment after a while in American politics, the Progressive Era, then the New Deal. It really started with the Depression of the 1890s in Grover Cleveland. And so the problem is that we don't really know. I mean, it looks like Donald Trump will be less contained than last time and intends to follow through on his campaign rhetoric. And I have no reason to believe otherwise. But look, if he does the tariff, right, the huge tariff, he's going to be destabilizing the whole global economy that our prosperity relies upon. Now, the stock market went up, mainly apparently because there's at least not going to be a fight over the election. But all of the European and international indexes went down because they're afraid of the tariffs. And it's going to hugely affect Japan, Taiwan, South Korea, the whole European Union, Great Britain, et cetera. And well, so.
And Dr. Craig, just to jump on that while you're talking about it, that inflation also promises to do great damage to the U.S. economy, much the way the inflationary tariffs that were installed during the Great Depression, okay, the beginning of the Great Depression, and much of the Great Depression is attributed to those very tariffs. So the tariff policy promises to be very destabilizing and inflationary, along with a tax reduction that he promises also to be very inflationary. So his economic promises almost assure us that we will move into something that looks like stagflation.
And he wants to repeal the Inflation Reduction Act. Well, that is a massive investment in our economy. That will tend to damage, if he's able to get away with it, economic growth, right? He wants to do something to the Affordable Care Act. Remember, he has some sort of principles that they've been working on for year after year without announcing them. That would greatly impact every working family and everyone who is not Medicare or Medicaid eligible, because it's not just a matter of the people who get their insurance in the Affordable Care Act and cannot be denied based on their health, right? It's a backup plan for everyone else. So a lot of people feel more secure. I mean, I have a major senior staff person who's leaving his position because he knows he can go on the Affordable Care Act. Well, he won't have that if they're successful.
All right. We've got to take a short hiatus. You're tuned into a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show after Election Day. And my guest, co-host Sandy Williams, and the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, 855-752-4842. You can join us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Every drop of rain that falls in Sahara Desert says it all.
All right, welcome back to a very special after-election edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. My co-host Sandy Williams is with us, as well as Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Jim from Eden. Good morning to you, Jim. You say what?
Yes, good morning, Earl. Thank you for taking my call. I think what happened is Christians turned out yesterday. It was a referendum on God. And, they turned out because, they didn't like the direction that the country was going. There's an Overton window you know, Mr. Overton came up with this spectrum of ideas on public policy and social issues considered acceptable by the general public at any given time. And I think the pendulum swung, you know, way to the left. And what you saw yesterday was a moving back the other way.
You know, Jim, and Sandy and Robert can respond. I don't disagree with you that there, and I talk with many Christians who agreed with you that this was about the fact that Christianity was in fact being challenged, the tenets of Christianity. And I think many of us may have overlooked, I know with black pastors in the city of Milwaukee, that their focus was constantly talking about Christianity and the Bible and the fact that they were opposed to abortion and all those different things, you know, whether or not, you know, that many of us think that that's the place in this nation, that it should take a prominent place in the election, you know, that's up to everybody's discretion. I don't think it has a place in our elections, but many do. Sandy, Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
Well, I actually had a question for the caller, because I hear people saying, and there's a lot of polling in which people say they think the country's been going in the wrong direction socially. And my question is, what are you talking about? What is it about our culture that you think is going in the wrong direction that relates to the religious issue you've described? Is it the gender and LGBTQ issues, or what are the issues that when you're talking about? Because it's all kind of cloaked in words that don't have a meaning to me.
Yes, you know, one is exactly what you said. I go to school board meetings and talk about, you know, children who, you know, young children are having their body parts mutilated. And I think that's what is swung. You know, there's this acceptance that that's normal to mutilate children, and that's what I
raised. Really, I mean, is that factually based? It strikes me that people talk about that, and Donald Trump would talk about how schools were performing or authorizing and performing sex change operations without the authority of the parents. But all of that was factually debunked, I think. Is that an accurate portrayal of what's going on, or is that a fearful description of what people are afraid is going on?
According to the Sconi report, October 14, 2024, taxpayers spent more than $110,000 for irreversible sex change interventions. I mean, if that's a lie, that's what was...
Well, hang on, sir. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to that? Because there are people who believe that, like this caller.
And I think Sandy, you know, had a good line of inquiry there. And I think Sandy was getting to how scripturally based is that analysis. And specifically, when you're talking from a Christian framework, and then specifically, how factual is the representation of what's going on. But I would say, look, if you look at the history of Christianity, my Lord, there was a schism between the Catholic and the Orthodox part of Catholicism. Then there was a Reformation and the creation of many different denominations of Protestantism. And they do not have an agreement on the thing. So when the caller says the Christian position, it's not taking into account the diversity of Christianity. There are many Christian faith traditions are almost as numerous as the one I think the caller is coming from, in other words, more of an evangelical tradition, that have a different perspective on all of these social issues and a different perspective on what the teachings of Jesus are in the Bible, and believe, and this is from the Old Testament prophets, that we are called upon, and from Jesus' words, to care the most for the least among us. And you know, trans kids who have medically diagnosed gender dysphoria, where that affects their whole lives. The medically directed thing to do is what's happening, and you're just not going to find any scriptural basis for saying that this is a violation of Christian doctrine. And it's a bit like abortion. Abortion, the Southern Baptist Church was relatively pro-choice until a decision was made in the 70s that was a great political issue. So there's a fair amount on the right-wing part of Christianity of taking political positions and then trying to say that they came from religious faith. And I know the caller's in earnest, but I think that some of the leaders of this movement have politicized their own version of Christianity.
855-752-4842. A very special after-election edition of the Earl Ingram Show, joined by my co-host Sandy Williams and also Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Guys, hang on the phone lines. We'll come to you shortly.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right. Welcome back to a very special after-election edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. My co-host Sandy Williams is with us, as well as Dr. Craig. Sandy, the music.
Yeah, just Unity music. I played it yesterday. I'm playing it again today. There's a big abundance. There's a lot of it to choose from, and I hope we can move in that direction.
All right, I want to, Sandy, give you a chance to respond to the last caller before the break who invoked Christianity. And there's no question that organized Christianity played a major outcome in this election. I know inside of, you know, the black clergy, that was the message that was hammered away by many of those pastors as far as abortion and all those kinds of things. And I don't know if the Democratic Party saw that coming, or if there was anything they could do about it. Your response, Sandy?
Well, I just think that the whole issue was teed up in a disproportionate and factually inaccurate sort of a way. I mean, even the data that this gentleman provided on the mail, $110,000, you realize that that's probably two medical procedures in terms of the numbers of people, and the numbers of people affected by all this is so small. So what we've got is a very small community. Some would call it marginalized. I mean, the Democrats have, I think, come to the protection of what could be marginalized communities, and I think that the Republican game to be played with it was to try and magnify it and suggest that this is what Democrats are all about. It was all fiction, and it was all fear, and it was all a discussion that such that somebody as well-meaning as that caller could think that this election was really a referendum on God, you know, and then the question is, what is the God, what is the liturgical thought they have in mind about what God stands for, that they're worried about in terms of the direction of our country. And all of that, I think, requires factual inquiry and a factual discussion. And that's not what we've had.
Dr. Craig?
Yeah, no, Sandy had the right term. It's teed up, right, to create disgust, outrage, and backlash politics. And if you look at it historically, new groups that are seem alien, unknown to most people are selected. So in the 70s, in the 50s, it was just gay people being in government and the Department of State at all and being some security risk, all trumped up. It was called the Lavender Scare. In the 70s, it was lesbian and gay teachers who were being in schools and supposedly recruiting kids. That's what Anita Bryant was campaigning against. And now it's trans kids with a suicide rate of very high, the highest suicide rates of any classification of young person. And it's being exploited. And you see it in other areas. I talked to a lot of voters. I did a lot of doors and even more phone banks where we were having deep conversations. And I talked to voters about that were right-wing, you know, Trump voters about partial birth abortion. That hardly ever happens. It's in the rarest of cases. And this is when these situations, when the woman's about to die, right? And it's an unviable pregnancy, and it comes late in the term. And they've turned into this thing where they think that this is a common thing, and doctors all over the place are doing these partial birth abortions of babies that are about to be born and are viable. It's just a lie. And if this was based on faith and religion, for real, wouldn't it be grounded in the actual situation, not a kind of made-up propaganda designed to incite you and convince you that horrendous things are going on the other side that you have to stand up to? And I'll hold it up. I mean, you got door knockers from Trump all over Milwaukee with a beautiful little baby.
Yes.
And how are you going to protect them from partial birth abortion, him and Eric Covey?
You know,
it's not a thing in any large numbers, and the result of their bans is to slaughter women. We have women dying because they can't get medical care late in a pregnancy when it goes wrong.
Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
All right, go ahead.
Quickly, I think what was surprising to me was that not only did she not win any swing states, but all 50 states, she underperformed it in all 50 in comparison to Biden in 2020. And that tells me that a lot of it had to do with the economy. It had to do with the fact that we've had millions of people, you know, basically come over the border unchecked. And I know you're going to say, well, Trump stopped the whole thing. The difference was in that policy that was proposed was a huge amnesty. And I've listened to Dr. Craig now for the last few years, and you will be very thankful that the filibuster is not going to be taken away from you. Because if it is, the minority party, in this case, the Democratic Party, would be really up the creek without a paddle. But as long as that filibuster is in place, you're going to have a seat at the table. So I would look into that going forward, because at the end of the day, we do have to work together. It can't be one party rule.
Hey, Dave, thank you very much for the call. You want to respond to that, Sandy or Dave? Or Dr. Craig?
Well, the filibuster rule is a sauce for the goose and for the gander, and it remains in place. It's controversial. It does give disproportionate power to the minority. And while it's in place, although, you know, the Republican majority did suspend it for certain things, like for judicial appointments, right? So, they've decided discretionally to exercise their power when, as, and if they choose. And they were the ones to suspend it, not the Democrats.
Dr. Craig?
I think frankly. Yeah, and it goes back, Sandy. Harry Reid did the nuclear option because McConnell was holding up all of Obama's judges. And then McConnell then went and extended this to remove, suspending it for Supreme Court justices, which is how they were able to pack the Supreme Court. But I've always thought that the party that will eliminate the filibuster, which allows 25% of the population to veto the rest, it makes our government in many ways unworkable in a modern context, that'll be done by Republicans. And if there's something Donald Trump really wants that is being filibustered, I believe that I don't believe there's any philosophical commitment to the filibuster coming from Donald Trump or his party. It's been convenient when they don't have a majority, then it's a holy writ and cannot be violated. I don't know why people think it's inviolate. The only reason it exists is because it's included in rules at the beginning of every Senate session, and the majority party decides the rules, and they can change the rules anytime during the session. So, the new Senate Majority Leader will be able to eliminate the filibuster or change it whenever they want to pass something, if they really want to do it and President Trump wants it.
Let's go to Robert from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Robert. You say what? Robert. All right, let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Eric from Tulsa, but
yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, good morning, and sorry for the raspy voice.
No problem.
This is definitely disappointing and not at all surprising. First thing I told my mom last night is we better keep this guy alive, to be honest. And without being disrespectful, I believe holding up, quote-unquote, the economy is something I would expect the Know-Nothing Party to say. Willful ignorance aided by propaganda and domestic terrorism won this election. And it speaks volumes that American, quote-unquote, Christians are rejoicing in the re-election of a rapey, racist felon. You know, this is why they're losing their flock on the daily. We, the white people in this country, came to Benedict Donald's rescue while also preserving our own standing. Thinking he was going to jail if he lost and other folks were going to see a better day, we decided that rich white men still got to remain above the law. And really quickly on the North Carolina election, it tells me that millions of us like Nazis, just not black Nazis. And regarding our state's many public school referenda, it seems our well-to-do white communities still know how to take care of their own. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Hey, Eric, thank you very much for calling. Anybody want to respond to any of that? All right.
I would just add to one thing. The caller's right about the propaganda. It wasn't necessarily the economy, it was the public perception of the economy. And of course, the way that was described by the right-wing propaganda machine and the way it was not effectively described by mainstream media or effectively by Democrats to explain it is part of it. So, but propaganda certainly had a role in the perception. The reason I think Harris lost across the board a certain amount of ground, a couple of percent, is because the economy was the anchor on her, and it's a perception of the economy, not the actual economy.
Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. Your thoughts? Bill. All right, let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the hypocrisy within the Christian religion is just beyond the pale. Like the other caller said, why all of a sudden are we a Christian country? We are a country of immigrants, multiple religions. This was nothing more than angry white people, which I made this comment to you guys over 2 months ago, that the MAGA crowd is just an angry bunch of white folks that don't like the fact that, first of all, a female was going to be president and a black female was going to be president. This is more about racism in this country. And, for all the people that are listening that voted for this knucklehead, you shall reapeth what you sow. The economy's fine, and there's no problem with it right now. And this whole misconception that the economy, that he's going to save our country, and that for the poor guy working at Walmart for whatever they're willing to pay him, forget your overtime, folks. Forget unions, folks. Get back into reading Project 2025 and prepare yourself for what's about to come, because it's coming, and now we can't stop it. And so thank you all for making this happen.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Any response from Sandy or Dr. Craig?
Go ahead, Sandy. You go first.
No, the only thing I would have to say is that, there's two potentials that happen when someone who gets elected is presumably unreliable and impulsive as Donald Trump has seemed to be. And that is that people around him channel that and control that, which seemed to have happened in the last administration. However, I think what we have to be concerned about is that he appeared to learn his lesson from that last administration. And it appears that he's not going to surround himself with people like that. So, you put a crown in the White House, and either the White House prevails or the place becomes a circus. And I do think we have to worry about that. I think that we need to have a vigilant watch over what it is that's going to happen, because we can't have an FBI serving at the pleasure of the president. We can't have a Justice Department that is a tool for the White House. We can't destroy the Department of Labor. We can't get rid of the Department of Education. And a bunch of these things that are talked about are real serious problems and issues.
All right, 855-752-4842, very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. Dr. Robert Craig and my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to what, unfortunately, in the last few minutes of a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. My co-host Sandy Williams is with us, as well as Dr. Craig. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Bob from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Bob. You say what? Bob.
Hello.
From Waukesha. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. When to you and all your listeners, just think of this. People that think like CJ are going to be running this country. It's just a sad thought. And it's a sad day for America. That's all I can say.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Real quick, let's not cry in our beer. Let's kind of celebrate a little bit of this. Since the majority of Americans think this is the way to go, we can be very observant in the next 2 years, but they've only got about 800 days to get their act together, and then we got another election. So if they're right, we're giving them plenty of time to show us how right they are. But if they're wrong, they're going to fall on their face so hard that they might not come back. This started many years ago with Newt Gingrich and Citizens United, where you could literally buy your way into government, and here's where we are.
All right.
But let's not be upset. America's got it. Guys, have a good
day. Bill, thank you very much. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what? Don.
Am I on?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Quickly.
I hate to tell you, gentlemen, but democracy is dead. He has everything on his side. He's got the Senate on his side. He's got the House on his side. He's got Fox News. He's going to make a special cabinet for Elon Musk. Lots of luck. Guess what? He gave you the middle finger, and you dumbbells voted for him anyway.
Don, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to say what in closing?
Yeah. The last two callers had different views on democracy. I think it to be determined, because let's look at Wisconsin and what happened in 2010, not just in Wisconsin, but the red sweep of 2010 and the Tea Party rebellion. Republicans immediately went to change redistricting, so only Republicans would win, and we've had no chance of Democratic majorities until now because of the maps. And they did Act 10 to undercut one of the fundamental pillars of power for the Democratic Party, and they went after trial lawyers, another one. And so the question is, will this Trump presidency try to find a way so that they cannot lose the next election, when Trump will be termed out unless they amend the Constitution or ignore it, and we would have J.D. Vance most likely as the standard bearer. And if they do try to do that, then we need to look to other peaceful mechanisms. But either way, the only solution to this is peaceful resistance and winning. Hopefully it could be won just in 4 years. I just say that we got to cut greenhouse emissions by 2030, and this takes us to 2028. This is very dangerous for the stability of the climate, and therefore what makes it possible to have human civilization.
Sandy?
Well, you know, it's a difficult day. Let's put it that way. And I said, the Republicans' best learn lessons from history, and they best be careful about how they perform, because they will be blamed for the consequences of their incumbent. And you know, the things that have been proposed in the policy discussion during the campaign by Donald Trump are hopefully not things that will be installed into our government. And that Project 2025, the blueprint that was built for him by the conservative wing of the party, has lots of things in it that are going to be very disturbing to the American public.
I know I've been frustrated before after elections, presidential elections, and those things passed, and this too shall pass. And Dr. Craig, you and your organization, after all the hard work you put in during this election, you don't take a break. You're just now preparing. You're going to be preparing, I guess, to address what's coming.
Absolutely. The question is, like after the 2016 election, remember we had the big fight to save the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
A lot of people thought it wasn't doable. It was. We have the first major American investment on to prevent runaway climate change, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is causing a massive number of jobs and a huge number of things in Milwaukee, and that's increasing. And then in Wisconsin, we have a state Supreme Court race again that could determine, you know, whether or not there's any possibility of Democrat power. If the Supreme Court switches hands, not only will abortion potentially be illegal again, but the maps could be rigged again.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Robert Craig. We'll see you in a week. Sandy, we'll see you again on tomorrow. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Our phone lines will always be open. And those of us who have grown accustomed to kind of doing this every morning, we thank you. And that hasn't ended. We'll continue. Start anew on tomorrow. You've been tuning. Oh, up next, Jane Madnair and Greg Bott. Madnair on air. You've been tuned into a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
If you just call me if you need a friend.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.